We live in a culture that is very blasphemous against the things of the Lord. We are constantly confronted with it in our everyday lives. People that take God's name in vain, they have taken the name of Jesus Christ and made it a curse. They have rejected the God of the Bible. We constantly hear the name of God even being mocked. And as Pastor Mike was saying in Sunday school, that even people that talk of the name of Jesus, when they find that you are a believer, there's the mocking that you have an invisible friend that you talk to all the time. They have no reverence whatsoever. And so I would say it is easy to look at our culture and point the finger and say, look what they have done. They have blasphemed the name of the Lord. Look at how they have acted. They have taken his name in vain. They have profaned his name. And that is true. That is true. My understanding, and somewhat because of the sinful world we live in, it is expected. As it has been since the beginning of time, even starting with Cain and even with Satan in the tree as a serpent there, blaspheming the name of God. But now God has taken this people that were slaves in Egypt, that was foretold by God to Abraham that they would be there for hundreds of years, 400 years, in slavery. And as they would be in slavery, that God would come, and we've seen him in Exodus, and that God would come and that he would deliver his people. He calls the people of God, my eldest son. And then we see in the plagues and all the way through, and even at the last one, where the eldest child of even the Egyptians was taken that night because they did not have the blood of the lamb upon the door. And the consequence came to them. Pharaoh had blasphemed the name of God. And even as they came out and they were delivered through the waters, and they were delivered by giving fresh water, and then delivered by manna, and God's whole goal was to bring them to himself, not just to leave Egypt, but to bring them to himself. And as God is on this mountain, and you see the fire and the smoke and the earth is trembling, even the mountain looked as if it was going to fall apart. It was shaking so much at the very presence of God. It was a fearsome sight. And out of this fearsome sight, the first time that God speaks was not Moses writing it down, but that God is now here in chapter 20. Eventually, he would write it on tablets. But here, God begins to speak. And as we said before, he speaks in two tablets. How we are to worship God in the most basic way. And that more information through Exodus is going to be given to the children of Israel. By how they build the tabernacle. By how the priests should dress. By how that they should be holy and reverent to his name when they come before him to worship. And you will see those details in the time to come. But right now, he is speaking of himself. And they came out of a culture that was nothing but idolism. And it was a culture that was there in Egypt for hundreds, if not thousands of years, even to this day. But they came out of a culture where it was as natural as breathing to worship idols. That's all they had seen. That's all they had known for hundreds of years. But now the God of the Bible has come to them. We are going to see that God speaks, and he speaks in Revelation 20, and God spoke these words. It's very important. And God spoke these words. God spoke these words. He said, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. I am the one who did it. And that there was to be no other gods before me. Anything that takes your mind, your time, your heart, your affections, something that you have more faith in than God himself, is your God, is your idol. And it is idolatry. And this is what God is speaking of. And you could see throughout the Old Testament and even in the Gospels how Israel had constantly strayed away from God in every way because other things became more desirable than God himself. You shall not make for yourself a carved image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, that is in the earth beneath, or that it is water underneath the earth. You shall not bow down to serve them, for I, the Lord your God, I'm a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and fourth generation to those who hate me, but showing steadfast love to thousands of those who love me and keep my commandments. And then he comes to that conclusion, that one verse, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. So let's cover some of these because obviously in vain, shav is the Hebrew word. And shav has to do with the understanding that you have made commonplace my name. In fact, it's so common, it's just like all the other gods. My name is not above all those carved images and all the idols of your heart that there are. It is commonplace among men. It is no longer separate. It is no longer valued. It is just simply in the mix with everything else. If you had a coin that was one of the rarest minted coins, there's one, I think that's a quarter from the 1940s, and it was a mistake, and only a couple of them were made. There was a show one time I watched where this person was bringing it to the pawn shop, and as they laid it before, it was in a special case, and it was separate from all other quarters. It was not a common quarter. It was worth thousands upon thousands of dollars. It was of high value. And you keep that quarter. You don't simply throw it in your pocket with four other quarters in your pocket. You put it in a special package. You put it in a special safe. And that quarter becomes revered because it's so valuable. It's so other than just the common quarter. If you were to take that quarter worth thousands upon thousands of dollars because it was a misprint and it's very, very rare and only one or two people in the whole wide world have one, you would not simply take it out of its case and throw it in with the other quarters. This is what we do with money. But for God, it's much more than a quarter that is valuable. We don't take his name and put it in such a way and treat it in such a way that it is common among the world. That even when we come into church, we do not treat the name of God, especially the name even of Christ, in Christ. We do not treat it as commonplace. It's not just another story. Like other stories, but that his name is to be high and lifted up. This blasphemy, God is talking about that there should be no defiant irreverence of his name. So number one, let's deal with the reverence for his holy name. The reverence for his holy name. When we talk about reverence for his holy name, he says, you shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. You are not to empty my name of its meaning and all that I am. And so we see some things, reverence for his name in our life, and reverence for his name in worship. When he talked to Israel, reverence for his name. In Exodus chapter 3, Moses is coming to the burning bush, and as he comes to the burning bush, caught by surprise that the bush was not even being consumed. And through there, the pre-incarnate Christ, as he would even say, because he is I am, he said, even to them as they wanted to stone him, because he said, I before Abraham was, I am. He didn't say before Abraham was, I was. He said, I am. And so in this burning bush, here we begin to see that Moses is confused and he says, yes, but they've not heard your name like this. They've not heard your name and so for hundreds of years. Whom shall I say sent me? What is your name? The Lord said to Moses, I am who I am. Say to this people of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Say this to the people of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, the God of Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. And thus I am to be remembered throughout all generations by this name. And we come to Jehovah, the Lord. The Lord God Almighty. His name. When I begin to talk about your name or other people even hear about your name, what comes to mind when people hear your name? Is it argumentative? Is it something else? Is it kind? Is it a hard worker? People should care about their name. And even in this town, when people have a certain last name, and other people have another last name, there are certain images throughout all this small little town that people begin to think simply because of your name. When it comes to God's name, he says, I am that I am. That even when they asked Jesus, he said before Abraham was, I am, he took on that title. And then you see the seven I ams. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one could come unto the Father but by me. I am the bread of life. I am the door. And he goes on and on to say, I am, I am, I am, I am. I am this God, the second person of the Trinity that has come from heaven. And then Jesus speaks of the Father. You remember the most common prayer that people think that they recite it as if it was an incantation. And by the way, the name of God is not an incantation to get what you want. It is to be holy. It is to be revered. But even in the Lord's Prayer, what does he say? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Now that word hallowed, what does that mean? Holy. Sanctified, separate in every way. Do you know that it is not a declaration, Father, we know you are holy, for that is true. But this is actually a request in prayer. Interesting how the prayer goes. Father, would you make your name holy among us? Show your holiness. And in fact, may we live such lives that we display that same holiness throughout all the earth, that you are righteous, that you are holy, holy, holy. And that even in our lives, Father, may we proclaim and may you give the holiness of your name throughout all the earth. It is the desire in the heart of the people of God that God's holy name should be known throughout all the earth. That's actually a desire, and it's the first thing we start out with prayer. Not a request for ourselves, for someone else, but that God's name would be proclaimed throughout all the earth as holy. So even in there in the Lord's Prayer, it is Christ whose name is holy. It is the I am whose name is holy. It is the Father's name who is holy. That we would proclaim it and pray, oh, Father, first and foremost, may you be high and lifted up and proclaimed in our lives and throughout all the earth. Show us your holiness in every way. But it is also the reverence in life. The second tablet, as we look, and thou shalt not murder, commit adultery, thou shalt not covet, lie, all these things. The second tablet is a call for holy living because we carry the very name of God as the people of God. In Leviticus 22, 32, God speaks to the children of Israel, and you shall not profane my holy name. Profane, that is to defile his name, to call that which is disgusting. And do not profane my holy name, that I may be sanctified among the people of Israel. I am the Lord who sanctifies you. Keep my name separate. Keep my name as holy. Keep my name as righteous. Do not make it something else, Israel. I have set you as a nation that you may be a testimony of my glory and of my holiness to all the nations of the earth. And even here as believers, that though we are not a nation in of itself like Israel, that we are all around the earth in every country from every tongue, tribe, and nation, that we are to treat our lives in such a way that we do not bring dishonor to the very name of God by the way that we act and the way that we talk and the way that we think. We are not to bring shame and dishonor to the heathen, to those even without Christ and have refused Christ. We are not to act in such a way that it would bring dishonor to the very glory of God. In fact, Peter says this, "But he who called you is holy. You also be holy in your conduct." What he tells believers, in the way you act and what you say and what you do, it matters. Since it is written, "You shall be holy as I am holy." And Christ even said all to the disciples, all that you've seen me do in this 3 years, and all that you've seen me say, now you go out and you live exactly like that. Because you are carrying the name of Christ. And even our testimony as a body of Christ, we are one little church in one small town. But you come from perhaps the next town over or towns, whatever. But what you do at work, how you are in your family, and especially when we are in here, how we participate and conduct ourselves with one another, it is to be holiness to the Lord. That is the reverence in life because we carry his name. And there is also the reverence in worship. The reverence for his name and worship. There is to be no syncretism. God is not an invited guest. He is central among us. That we gather around his word. We gather to give him praise. We gather to pray to him. We gather to hear his word and recognize that he is fully sovereign and that he is God. In worship, it was interesting in Exodus chapter 32, even while they're still at the mountain, even while the mountain is still filled with smoke and fire, and there was all of this going on, and Moses disappears up into the mountain for about 40 days, and what do the people of Israel do? They cry to Aaron, Moses' brother, "Hey, we need, make us a god." And he gathers all the gold and he throws it in, and Aaron told Moses, and lo and behold, out came a golden calf. But in Exodus 32, they very specifically had crafted it in this golden calf. And Aaron said this, "These are the gods that have delivered you out of Egypt." That is profanity. He spoke profanity. "These are the gods that delivered you out of Egypt." And what did God say in the beginning of this when he said, "I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, the house of slavery." And now Aaron's saying, "These are the gods." But Aaron wasn't done. Because in syncretism, here's what he did. He then made an altar before the golden calf. He constructed an altar. And he said, "Come tomorrow and we will celebrate the feast of the Lord." So he was trying to include the I Am. He was trying to include Yahweh and saying, "We're not leaving you out, Lord. We know that we have our golden calf. And yes, we give all the gods the credit. All the gods of Egypt and all other gods, whoever they may be, was never named. But we give the gods credit for being delivered from Egypt. But don't be angry, Lord, because we also built you an altar. You should not be angry. When they came to the feast of the Lord, they ate and they brought their offerings and their burnt offerings and all of the offerings, quote unquote, to worship the Lord. But it shows what happens in syncretism. They rose up to play, meaning sexual idolatry. It was very much a part in their worship, even as they were, quote unquote, celebrating. There was no reverence for God, even at his presence on the mountain. This is how deep our sin goes. This is how easily we take the name of the Lord our God in vain. Because we put other things in our lives and we say, don't worry, Lord, I'm here on Sunday and I'm actually worshiping your name. But then we slip out of the church and we get in our cars and we go back to normal conversations and we go back to this life and being all consumed with that particular life, and God has nothing to do with it. It's as if we live in two different worlds. And this is exactly what Israel did. This is if they lived in two different worlds. But when we come, I love Psalm 100, 1 through 5, a psalm of giving thanks. And psalm is full of worship and praise. How are we to come to worship? Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving. Do you understand? You're going into the presence of God. In the presence of God through the gates with thanksgiving and his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever and his faithfulness to all generations. That is how we are to come. To not be thankful to the Lord is idolatry. To complain against the Lord, or to not even directly, but just to complain and see how your life is not what you would like it to be, is actual idolatry. And Scripture will explain that it is that which profanes the name of the Lord. We do not come into his presence with constant complaint so much. But there are things that are not right that we pray about and we lament toward the Lord for. Yes, but there is a sense in which we come and we bless his holy name and we proclaim that his holiness and request that his holiness be throughout our lives and throughout all the earth and through in the church. That his glory would be magnified in every way. And then we come in and we sing. And as it were, we dance with joyful hearts and give thanks to the Lord for all that he has done. Give constant thanks. But there are times when worship went awry. Even here, Nadab and Abihu, if you remember in Leviticus 10, 1 through 7, Aaron's two sons. The Lord has said, treat my tabernacle as holy, holy to my name. And when they came in, they offered some other kind of incense, which was called strange fire. They had went against the will of the Lord in the worship of him, and fire came from the altar and consumed and killed them both. And in there, Moses told Aaron, God is serious about his name and the way we worship him. We cannot come into his presence casually or bringing our own way in which we think we should worship. God is not simply here for fun. God is not simply here so that we can do the best we can, whether we are ignorant of it or whether we are deliberately doing it. It does not matter. We are to worship him and to hold his name as holy and sanctified and separate from all other names. Number two, the retribution for his holy name. God said that he is a jealous God. for his name and his glory. He says in Exodus, there in verses 4 and 5 of chapter 20, don't make for yourself any carved image, anything in likeness, anything that is in heaven above, that is on the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God. He's jealous for what belongs to him, and that men cannot take and make him into something that he is not. He is a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers on the children to the third and the fourth generation, to those who hate me. The Lord actually says that when you are doing this, and when you go after other things in our hearts, because as Calvin says, our hearts are idol factories. We just can't help ourselves. That we are to take a step back and to talk about the seriousness of what it is to fear the Lord in worship. What it is to fear the Lord and understand that he will take vengeance because his holy name has been taken in vain. It has been profaned. It has been blasphemed. And the Lord says, I will not hold you guiltless. Even in Exodus 34:14, listen to this. For you shall worship no other God. For the Lord, whose name is jealous, is a jealous God. And God actually says, my name is jealous. That is actually one of the names of God. He is not talking about, I'm not just jealous. My whole being is jealous for my glory. And that my name and my holy name would not be profaned. So we see, even in here, there is retribution for his name. We also see that it is a retribution in judgment. In Ezekiel 39, verses 7 through 8, Israel had been judged by God in Ezekiel. There, one part of the country, Judah, had been conquered. But it starts out in Ezekiel. There is Ezekiel, and he was also, Babylon had came in, and God had judged Israel. And Babylon had carried out many of the Jews, and Ezekiel was one of the Jews that they had carried out. And when he sat by the banks of the river, there he had a vision. We won't go through the whole thing, but God had appeared with angels before him. And what did God say? Because of the sin of Israel, because of syncretism, because they actually brought in other gods, even into the temple itself, and in the very temple of God, were worshiping other gods. It says that God's glory had left the temple. God had picked up and left. And eventually, the carrier would come to Ezekiel and say, the temple of God has fallen. All of Jerusalem has fallen and has been conquered. Why? Because of what they had done to his name. Now the enemies of God, and God had restored Israel eventually. And brought them in. But then there were other nations, Gog and Magog, and we won't go through all the prophecies, but other nations who were enemies. And anytime Israel got together, other nations would come against Israel, constantly squeezing from all borders. Sounds familiar today. But they would come against and come against, and God said, I am not going to stand for the nations of the enemies of God. To go against my people is to go against me in my name. And I will not have my name profaned among all the other nations. In fact, here's what he said in verse 7 and 8 of Ezekiel 39. In my holy name I will make known in the midst of my people Israel, and I will let not my holy name be profaned anymore. And the nations shall know that I am the Lord, the Holy One in Israel. Behold, it is coming, and it will be brought about, declares the Lord, that this day of which I have spoken, you will no longer as nations profane my name. How we quickly run to Revelation, where even throughout all of this earth, it seems as if God is doing nothing. Be careful what you observe, because it's not true. What you see with your eyes and hear with your ears. Because even as the nations now do not see it, and even people in America, constantly profaning the name of the Lord. A man who thinks he's a woman and can get pregnant. People living in sexual idolatry constantly. Blaspheming even through their mouths his holy name. Mocking the very children of God. Mocking salvation in every way. Let me say that God is patient, yes. But we all know there will come a day when God comes calling, and through the warrior of the Lord Jesus Christ, who on his robe of his thigh says that he is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. That is his name. But listen, even as they are being judged, listen to the rest of the world. Listen to the profaneness of the world. Even as they are being judged by the heat of the sun and are burning. In Revelation 16, 8, 9, the fourth angel poured out his bowl on the sun, and it was allowed to scorch people with fire. They were scorched by the fierce heat, and they what? They cursed the name of God, who had power over these plagues. They did not repent or give him glory. And may I say this, as people die without Christ, as people die in their blasphemous sin, not washed away by the blood of the Lamb, and they wind up in the lake of fire, and they are there for all of eternity, Revelation chapter 20, starting verse 11. And as they are there for all of eternity, do you think that they are crying out, "Oh, I should have come to Christ. Oh, I should have repented of my sin. Oh, I should. Why did I do what I do?" But in fact, are they not like these people here? Even as more judgment and more judgment comes upon them, what do? Oh, they do not repent, but they curse the very name of God. Hell is full of people and full of the cursing of God. And God's righteous, just judgment comes upon them because look what they have done with his holy name. This is the judgment that we need to understand. God is not going to stand idly by. There is an accumulation of sin upon sin. But let me say this. When we as the people of God, and even in this church, in a small town, in a small church, it matters how we conduct ourselves and how we live and how we talk in every single way. When we begin to understand throughout the churches, throughout all of the ages, but even the churches today, I can look at so many, and my family and I have walked into some, and we have walked out saying, God was neither glorified. God was not lifted up as holy. He was taken down so many notches, and he was just made common like everybody else. In fact, Scripture overwhelmingly says, this is what blasphemy is of my holy name. What we do as a church matters in how we proclaim his name. If we have made it common, that people will mock. But if we step back, and even hearing the name of Jesus Christ, not in a good way, even among the heathen, there are certain words in society that you're not allowed to say. And they're always talking about the N word. You're not allowed to say that. And I agree with that. For everybody. Not just one group of people. There are certain things that we just don't say. But then we hear the name of Jesus Christ being used in a profane way. And the name of God being used with blasphemy. Do we, the people of God, are we even moved? Is there not a shock in our heart when we hear? I know that for me it is. I am shocked to hear them say that. Shocked that you would actually use. Listen, the very name that you're using, the very name that you're using as a curse word, is the very name that will come and he will judge your soul. But even Jesus said, but if you repent, even now, and repent of blasphemy against the Father or even the name of Christ, that your sin will be forgiven you. But the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, you can never be forgiven. And what is the blasphemy of the Holy Spirit? Well, it was unique to the Pharisees because they accused Jesus, even when he healed and proclaimed his name, that he was full of demons. That was blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. They were locked out of the kingdom of God for all of eternity because they blasphemed the Holy Spirit. But this is also blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, to refuse the one who convicts your heart and to bring you to the Lord Jesus Christ. And men say no, 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 no. They hear the word of God. They hear the consistent, faithful preacher of God proclaiming the gospel of Jesus Christ to their sinful souls, and that they can be saved and washed in the blood of the Lamb and come under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Repent of your sin and come under his authority. And they say no. That is blasphemy of the Holy Spirit. You will not be saved until you come to a point where you say what Jesus said to the rest of Israel and to the Pharisees: you will not see me again until you learn to cry, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. This is how serious it is. Number three, the restoration, but there is hope. The restoration for his holy name. The restoration. Because Israel kept doing this in syncretism and bringing idols. And by the way, these idols were sacrificing children to their god Molech and giving sexual sin over even to these gods. And everything horrible that you could possibly think of. Cutting of their own flesh, as we saw with the prophets of Baal, with Elijah. Cutting themselves and bleeding everywhere. These were not just idols, and it wasn't just something sinful. It was murderous. It was a culture of death. It was a culture of sexual idolatry. It was dark. It was dark and dark and dark. And they were doing it inside the temple of God. Can you imagine? We look at these dark periods and we see the judgment of God. And we will continue to see the judgment of God upon the earth. But even in the end time, a greater, greater judgment like no man has ever seen before because of what men have done. And even the persecution of his people and the slaughtering of his own people. Oh, we live in tolerance right now, but don't ever depend upon that. For our brothers and sisters around the world are going through things that we cannot imagine in persecution. They are hiding for their very lives. Just because we feel safe doesn't mean that our brothers and sisters around the world are. They are not. God will have his vengeance for his holy name. Because to come against the true church of Jesus Christ is to come against Jesus Christ himself, as he told Paul. When Paul was persecuting all of the church and killing them and throwing them in prison and doing all of these things, hunting them down. He was a blasphemer of God, he told Timothy in 1 Timothy. I was a blasphemer. I was violent against the people of God. But then Jesus came, and what did he say? Why are you persecuting me? There's no daylight between the church and Jesus Christ, their Savior. And so we pray, and even in this church, we pray, oh God, give us a restoration for your holy name. I have even heard believers use the word holy and then use something that is crass behind that. When it is a word that is to be revered, you reserve that word holy for the one who is holy. Holy, holy. You reserve that name, Jesus Christ, for the one who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. You reserve all of those names. I went through 50 names of Jesus Christ: Lion of Judah, Lamb of God. I went through name after name: Morning Star. Everything you could think of, as I went through those names, And those names bring up every aspect of who he is. And he has an eternity of names. In fact, in Revelation 19, it says, and there is a name that even he has at this point that has not yet been revealed and no one knows. There are more names to come, even of Christ. Here we see the restoration, lastly, of his for his holy name. He tells of this in Ezekiel again, one of the most prominent pastors, Ezekiel 36, 19 through 28. He actually said, and I want to read the word of God to you. God said, I scattered them, meaning Israel, among the nations, and they were dispersed through the countries. In accordance with their ways and their deeds, I judged them. But when they came to the nations, wherever they came, they profaned my holy name. In that people said of them, these are the people of the Lord, yet they had to go out of this land. But I had concern for my holy name, which the house of Israel had profaned among the nations to which they came. What is he saying? Israel, Israel, look what you have done, not only to my holy name, but now look how the nations look at you. What did these people do that their God would throw them out of the land? They said in mocking. And therefore, in verse 22, say to the house of Israel, thus says the Lord God, it is not for your sake, O house of Israel, that I am about to act, but for the sake of my holy name, which you have profaned among the nations to which you came. And I will vindicate the holiness of my great name, which has been profaned among the nations, and which you have profaned among them. And the nations will know that I am the Lord, declares the Lord God, when through you I vindicate my holiness before their eyes. I will take all the nations and I will conquer them, and I will show them that you are my people, and I will gather you into the land of Israel. And all the nations will look and say, truly his name is holy. I will take you from the nations, and I will gather you from all countries to bring you into your own land. I will sprinkle clean water on you, and you shall be clean from all on your uncleanness, and from all your idols I will cleanse you. And I will give you a new heart and a new spirit, and I will put it within you. And I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. Now I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. You shall dwell in the land that I gave to your fathers, and you shall be my people, and I will be your God. I will take your blasphemous ways. I will take the ways in which you profaned and sullied and dirtied my name among the other nations. Your testimony was rock bottom. You made me out to be filthy. But I will bring you back in. But when I bring you back in, it will be a testimony to the other nations. Then I'm going to do something. I'm going to take your heart, believer in Christ, and I'm going to transform you into the image of my dear Son. And all through life, I will do this. I will give you a new heart, and I will get rid of that rebellious, blasphemous, hard heart. When I do this, I will pour out my spirit in you, the Holy Spirit. And you will become a people once again that worship the true Lord God of heaven through Jesus Christ. And when you do this, you will dwell even in the land of heaven spiritually that I gave to your fathers. And he says, even now in the New Testament, in the revelation of this, and even going into the New Testament to us Gentiles, what does he say? You shall be my people, and I will be your God, because I will bring you through my Son. And so before we understand all of that, we have to ask that one thing, Jesus Christ, the restoration of the name of Jesus. Here in Romans 10, verses 9 through 13, here's what he says. Because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, that is made righteous. And with the mouth one confesses and is saved. For the scripture says, everyone who believes in him will not be put to shame. For there is no distinction between Jew and Greek. For the same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls upon the name of the Lord will be saved. There is the beauty. Do you know that we who were once blasphemers and our lives blasphemed him, our minds blasphemed him, our hearts in every way, and now God has turned that. And now we speak the name of God in Jesus Christ with a holy reverence like never before. That we would take and we have said, I called upon his name. I called and I believe that he died and was resurrected. I believe that the Lord Jesus Christ ascended bodily into heaven. And that now bodily Jesus Christ is sitting at the right hand of God. And he there is the Lord of lords and the King of kings. Listen how his name is proclaimed in Philippians 2, 10 through 11. That at the name of Jesus, did you hear that? That at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and of those of earth and those under the earth. That every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. There will come a day when not one human being, all of us made in his image from the time of Adam to the last baby that is born, that in the end of days, when Christ has conquered all, in that end time, whether you are in hell, you are on earth, or you are in heaven, wherever you may be, person, know one thing, that all of our knees will bow and all of our tongues will confess at the name of Jesus Christ that he indeed is Lord and always has been. I love in the sermon as we end this morning, Acts 4, 10 through 12. This has been a survey of Scripture, but that there is no other name under heaven whereby men can be saved. What did Peter say to the Sanhedrin after healing a man? And they brought them in, and they were questioning Peter and John. And as they questioned them, what was Peter's response? In front of a Sanhedrin that likely could have them killed, the boldness of Peter said this, "Let it be known to all of you, and to all of the people of Israel, that by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, whom God raised from the dead, by him this man is standing before you well. This Jesus is the stone that was rejected by you, the builders, which has become the cornerstone. There is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given among men by which one may be saved." Does that clarify it? It is that we are not to take his name and use it as common and to use it in a blasphemous way or to live a life that is blasphemous toward his name, calling ourselves believers in Christ, but living a life that is completely contrary to the name you proclaim. I would say if you're going to live that way, please be quiet. Don't even bring it up. All we can do is live a life and show our outward actions and even in our speech that would bring dishonor and that would actually cause even those that are unsaved to mock his name. We should be dismissed. But to live a life that is of repentance and that brings glory and that, Father, today I have the name of Jesus Christ written over me. Because he has washed me in his blood, and he has made me, as we sang, he has made me white as snow. Oh, Father, may I live, and may I think, and even my emotions, and even my whole body, may it reflect the glory of your name. Oh, Father, may your name be proclaimed, and may you show the holiness of your name, not only in me, not only in the church, but through the church, in all of the world. Because, Father, there is no other name under heaven where a man and a woman and a child can be saved other than the name of Jesus Christ. Bless his holy name. May we live in such a way, talk in such a way, think in such a way, and have hearts in such a way that every day of our lives we get up and saying, you have chosen me. You have chosen me to put me in Jesus Christ and to wash me and to cleanse me. You gave me a new heart. You have transformed my life. And you put your Holy Spirit within me. Oh, may I then live my life to your praise and your honor and your glory. Whatever you choose to give me and whatever you choose to take away, I don't care anymore. Blessed be the name of the Lord. And blessed be the one who came in the name of the Father, his Son, the second person of the Trinity, Jesus Christ, the most worthy name among all human beings in all of eternity, who is worthy to be worshiped. Let's pray. Father, again, here it is. Who knew that there was so much in just saying, do not take my name in vain, for I will not hold him guiltless. Lord, if there are things in our lives in a way which we are living, thinking, talking, heart, whatever it may we step back and rethink this. It is good for us, Father, even to step back and saying, how are we worshiping you together even on Sunday morning? Is your name being glorified? Is your name being high and lifted up in all things? And when we walk out of this room today, Father, and we get into our cars and we go home, I wonder how your name is going to be lifted. Will it just be another sermon? Just another sermon that we heard among many. And that we somehow syncretize and we have a way of disconnecting. But Father, there is no disconnection. For this is a call for us as the people of God that are in your Lord Jesus Christ. That when we walk out of here, we carry the name of Christ. We carry your holy name. And what we do and say and feel and all of these things, it matters. And whatsoever we eat or drink or whatever we do that we are to do in your holy name for your glory, help us to be serious about this. And from the time of Exodus, even to this present day, today, you have not changed your mind about this. You have not, quote unquote, calmed down. You are a jealous God in whose name is jealous. And you are jealous for your people. And you are jealous for your people to proclaim your holy name. To proclaim your glory throughout all the earth. May we get a heart and may we get a passion for this in all that we do. That Christ may be glorified. And Father, that we would say, as Christ said, let your light so shine among men. That when they see your good works, may glorify your Father, which is in heaven. And we pray this in the name of our Savior who loved us and died and rose again and ascended to your right hand and is there and is coming again. It is in his holy name that because of him, we have been, by the blood of Christ, we have been brought into your presence that we may worship and talk and do all of these things before you. We have been restored and your name has been restored because of all that you have done in Christ. And it's in his name that we pray. Amen.